Meeting that it's time for public hearings. Would invite you to listen very closely to our very able counsel as he goes over a few of the ground rules for the conduct of our meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As stated by the chairman, this is the time and the place for the scheduled public hearings before the Planning and Zoning Commission. These hearings will be conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission that were adopted in 1998. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. All persons present are invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberation and voting on the pending application. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a cell phone, pager, telephonic device, or beeper with you, please take the time now to switch it off or turn it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman. Then the director will review the application and any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. The applicant will then present its case to explain the application to the commission and may present any exhibits and testimony that supports the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant completes its presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by opponents. If there's a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person come to the front of the room and identify themselves, and then speak to the commission. Whenever speaking to the commission, we do ask that you identify yourself by name and place of record, name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on public comment or to terminate testimony that's irrelevant or unduly repetitive. The commission may ask questions of supporters and opponents. There will be no direct questioning or cross-examination of witnesses or applicants. All questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission may direct the question to the appropriate person if the commission thinks it's necessary. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. And thank you. Our first public hearing is conditional use 1649 Ronald W. Morgan.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a garage and parking of trucks and trailers to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 3.54 acres, more or less, lying west of Route 213, 416 feet south of Road 625. Gentlemen, before you were provided with a copy of a spiral-bound booklet referenced the application of Ronald W. Morgan. That booklet contains a copy of the application, some planning and zoning information sheet, a copy of the deed, site location map, site plan, Department of Transportation correspondence, a Board of Adjustment decision of January 4th of 02, a decision of the Superior Court of the State of Delaware, a letter of support from William H. and Barbara Morgan dated April 18th of 06, a letter of support from J.V. Wells Incorporated, a letter of support from Board of Adjustment case number 7568 from nine parties, and photographs of the site and surrounding area. That is part of the record. There was also one two-page document of a letter from Truex Enterprises from Manahawkin, New Jersey, in support of the application. They are a clam company, which Mr. Morgan's company services or provides trucking services for. That's a letter of support also. We have two agency comments. First one being from the Department of Transportation. There are numerous copies of letters of correspondence going back into 2003 in relationship to a portion of this site, or a portion of the main farm, I should say. The latest version is September 28th of 2004. It was addressed to the office in reference to Ronald Morgan conditional use application. The subject property is the same, 3.54 acres. Location is the same, seeking conditional use for a trucking business. It states that the department has seen several versions of this application and comment on those versions on June 19th of 03 and July 16th of 04. In both cases, they recommended denial because of concerns about the site entrance and distribution of truck traffic and because the proposed use is inconsistent with the strategies for state policies and spending. It also states that now through the applicant and through his attorney, David Rutt, has proposed conditions and altered the site location to address the department's concerns. Through the conditions set forth in the August 31, 2004 letter from Mr. Rutt, the address addresses their concerns regarding the entrance and truck traffic distribution. The proposed use is still inconsistent with the Cabinet Committee for State Policies or State Planning Issues according to the strategies for state policies and spending, and therefore their recommendation of denial remains the same. And that was signed by T. William Brockenbrow, Jr., County Coordinator, Development Coordination Office of the Department of Transportation. Second correspondence is from the Sussex Conservation District in the form of a memorandum, and we are advised that the site soils on site are sassafras sandy loam, which has slight limitations for development, that the applicant would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices and maintain vegetation, that the soil type sassafras is considered prime farmland, that there are no storm flood hazard areas affected, no tax ditches affected, and that it may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Attached to that correspondence or memorandum is a copy of an aerial infrared of the farm and also a copy of a soil survey map number 6 superimposed with the perimeter of the proposed site. Now, for the benefit of the commission, and rather than read several correspondence, I passed down copies of correspondence and from William H. Morgan, Vaughn H. Morgan, with an attached copy of the Superior Court of the State of Delaware decision. There was one addressed to Mr. Burton. That's one I copied. There was also one addressed to myself. They were the same letter, just different titles. I don't know if the other commissioners received the same or not. And also a copy of a letter in opposition from Beatrice Whitehead. All those correspondences are made a part of the record and will remain a part of the record for this application. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir. Thank you, Mr. Lang. Is there anyone here representing this application this evening?
Oh, I believe there is.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is David Rutt, and I'm here representing Mr. Morgan. And Mr. and Mrs. Morgan are here with me. This is an application for approval of approximately 3.54 acres for a garage and truck operation. And this is a family-owned business. And let me give you a little historical perspective on this. The Morgan family has been in the trucking business for approximately 60 years in and around this area. This property, or this particular conditional use, would be located on a family farm. That farm has been in the Morgan family for longer than they've been in the trucking business. In 1946, William B. Morgan and his wife, Marcelle Morgan, began operating a truck business from this site in addition to operating the farm. Now, Marcelle Morgan is Ronald Morgan's grandmother and still lives in the farmhouse, which you'll see in the photographs, right next to where this operation will be. This was a family business in that besides Mr. and Mrs. Morgan, the two sons, Ronald J. Morgan, who is the applicant's father, and William Morgan, his uncle, also worked in the trucking industry. William Morgan later set up his own business, which is just across the highway, 213 Old State Road, and a little south of this. And again, there are some photographs here, and I'll show where that is in relationship to this particular property. The farm was deeded through Mr. Morgan, Mr. Morgan's father, to the applicant, and the deed is in tab 3 of the book that was submitted. The applicant continued to operate trucks from this site. for several years, but then a couple of years ago there was a complaint that there had been a break in the operation, and therefore this was not a prior non-conforming use, and hence there had to be a conditional use. Instead, an application was filed with the Board of Adjustment alleging that Mr. Morgan was actually operating a prior non-conforming use. The Board of Adjustment heard conflicting testimony and chose to accept the testimony that there had been a break, which was discussed in the findings of fact. Additionally, the Board ordered Mr. Morgan to remove what the Board considered to be excessive farm equipment from the farm. That was appealed to the Superior Court, and that is the decision that is in the booklet. Judge Bradley upheld the Board of Adjustment under the substantial evidence standard as to the trucking operation, stating on page 12 of that decision, although in this case the Board's decision is probably fairly debatable, the Board did not abuse its discretion in denying the existence of a non-conforming use. The substantial evidence standard is so narrow, any evidence is sufficient to uphold the decision of the Board of Adjustment or any administrative board. So the court found that there was sufficient evidence as to the trucking. However, Judge Bradley reversed the board as to the removal of the farm equipment. That farm equipment was determined to be validly kept on the farm. Even though the equipment may not be new, some of it might need a coat of paint, it is all still fully operational or is there and used for parts. So whatever inference may be given in any of the letters or any comments about farm equipment on site, that's already been decided by the Superior Court that under the Sussex County Ordinance, the farm equipment can stay. In addition to his own farm and what he does there, Mr. Morgan tills about 525 acres of land in and around the Lincoln area. With his own farm and what's tillable, about 550 acres of ground that he tills. After the Superior Court upheld the decision of the board, admittedly there was a period of time when Mr. Morgan continued to have some trucks on site. He was having trouble finding a place where he could move those pieces of equipment. Through counsel of the Board of Adjustment and myself, we came up with a plan after which Mr. Morgan moved his trucks, and then he filed this particular site plan or had got it moving. He found a place near Ellendale where he could move his trucks and move some operations there, but it was very impractical to direct drivers as to where to go, what to do. And in addition, over the last couple of years, he's experienced theft of over 2,500 gallons of fuel. And with the fuel prices being what they are today and climbing, you know, that's a very big hit for a small businessman. In the meantime, as I said, we filed the site plan, and that brings us to what we're here for today. The conditional use is only a small portion designated on the eastern side of the farm, and you have, I assume, since they were submitted of record, the large plots. You've seen those and seen where it is in relationship to the overall farm operation itself. The tab 4 in the booklet that we submitted shows the general location of the site in relationship to the rest of the farm and what surrounds it. And then tab 5 gives a basic site plan, which is intended for the area, which is the subject of this conditional use. Presently on that site plan, or on that parcel, there's only one structure, and that is the garage itself. Mr. Morgan's intent is to expand that garage northward and enclose it. The current garage is 60 by 40. He would add about 40 feet, so the end structure would be about 60 by 100 feet. On the west, there would be a fenced-in area for storage of large parts. So it would be totally enclosed on the back side of the garage and out of sight. At the area next to Old State Road, there would be a small office, and then the plan also shows the parking areas for the trucks, trailers, and employees. Now, the applicant fully understands that if this application is approved through the process, that there will have to be a final engineered site plan with the approvals and permits brought back here for final site plan approval before anything can be done. Mr. Morgan currently has six employees, including himself, a couple of other drivers, and a mechanic. His ultimate desire is to increase to about 20 employees. Most of the employees would actually be on the site for only a few minutes at any given time when they would bring a truck back, leave it, get in their car and leave, or when they would come to work to pick up a truck and also leave. For the most part, those people driving for them are on the road. They're not making money sitting in the terminal. He would have a maximum of 20 tractors using the facility, but again, these would generally be out on the road, and a maximum of 30 trailers. That would give him flexibility in a mix of refrigerated trailers, flat trailers, log trucks, so forth, whatever he would need depending on the job he's doing. At times, a trailer wouldn't actually go out. Rather, the tractor would go to a customer's facility to haul a customer's unit. But that's not usual. He generally hauls his own equipment. There would be no loading or unloading on site, no fuel storage on site. All repairs would be inside the garage. All parts except for the large parts that would be in that fenced area would be kept in the garage. The hours of operation of the garage itself would be 8 to 8, Monday through Saturday. No Sunday hours except in the event of an emergency. The drivers would be returning at different hours. It's very hard to predict when they would be coming in based on the load, the destination, the requirements of the customer, traffic, and so forth. But they typically would leave in the evening, drive out, and be gone. Water is currently supplied from the farmhouse to the garage, but if approved, the garage and the office would have their own water supply. They would also have their own septic supply or septic system. Right now, the garage has a porta potty out back. The drivers would be required if they were going northwest or east, or even if they were going south, but they would be required from northwest or east to go north on Route 213 to Route 207, which is Johnson Road in Lincoln, turn left if they're going west and north to hit 113 at the light where Fitzgerald's junkyard is, or if they're going east, they go down Johnson Road to Route 1. If they're going south, they could go the same way, or they could go down 224 or down 213 to 224, and again west and hit Route 113. It's a short jump through there for them to hit it. There would be no trucks on Halflinger Road. I have to get that straight, my L's and my S where they belong. But Halflinger Road, the only exception is Mr. Morgan lives up on Halflinger Road, and if he had to take a truck home, to park it up there, or if he was doing business for a customer. There are some people up there, some farms that he's hauled grain for. The type of work that Mr. Morgan's trucks engage in primarily are hauling grain, lumber, general freight, clams. He services Sea-Watch in Milford. That's the Truex Corporation. That's the parent corporation. But it's Sea-Watch, which employs well over 100 people right there in Milford and processes clams. Representative customers are J.V. Wells. There's a letter from them in the booklet in tab 9. The Truex letter, which was the supplemental letter, is from Sea-Watch. He also pulls trailers from Mount Air, dressed chicken primarily, from both the Selbyville and Millsboro plant. That's the situation where he would go take his tractor and pull their unit as opposed to taking his own unit. Plus, he does extensive work for the farmers in the area during the harvest season. So, you know, for when they cut their corn or their grain, instead of them having to get trucks, they rent from, you know, Mr. Morgan. He sends somebody out, and they take it to the granary. There would be no sign on the site. Mr. Morgan doesn't advertise. His business is word of mouth. The property on the south, on the south end of the property, is within the favored route for the Milford bypass that DelDOT is advocating. And when I say favored, I mean favored by DelDOT, and I don't think by anyone else, which makes DelDOT's comments contradictory at best. DelDOT says in its letter that it doesn't favor this, and they cite the... if I can get this straight, the Cabinet Committee on State Planning Issues Strategies for State Policies and Spending, which is a real mouthful. But when you boil it down, in a letter that they sent dated June 19, 2003 to Mr. Lank, it says, this comment, rural areas are areas where emphasis is on preserving infrastructure investments and limiting growth to relatively passive uses such as cropland and forestry. Yet they're looking to cut a major bypass, take out several houses, and essentially destroy the south end of this farm and cut straight through adjoining farms and hit Route 113 just about where Wilson's Auction is. So that's where this is coming from. So I would say that when you look at this, they're saying our conditions, which we've submitted to them, address their concerns, except for passive use, yet they're out there cutting, you know, four-lane highways through people's farms. We have here letters of support, and I can only imagine, or I can surmise, that the letters which were given to you by Mr. Lank, other than Mr. Morgan's, arrived late today, since they weren't there about noon today. So we do have letters of support from William Morgan and Barbara Morgan, also from J.V. Wells, Truex. I attached letters that were extracted from the file when this was in front of the Sussex County Board of Adjustment. At that time, there was no opposition when essentially the entire farm was subject to, or there was opposition, but no opposition from these people, when the farm itself could have been under prior non-conforming use. In addition, and I would request leave from your counsel to submit a couple of additional matters of support or letters of support. One is a letter from Marcelle Morgan, the grandmother. Mrs. Morgan wanted to be here, but she was just released back home from a nursing home on Saturday, and she was optimistic that she could be here. Instead, she wrote a letter of support. The other is a petition that was signed by both, again, William Morgan and his son-in-law, Robert Warren, who, as I'll show you on the site map here in a moment, lived directly across the highway or road 213.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any problem with these being submitted. Since they're letters, I don't know that the rule applies to letters that they could have sent into the commission anyway.
Okay. Very well.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, in reference to Mr. Rutt's comment in reference to their date of receipt of the letter of opposition, they were received today.
Let me just briefly point out, if you look at tab 4, this shows with the site and also shows some other parcels around it. What you've had submitted to you, obviously Mrs. Morgan has no objection. She lives in the small crook of the site as it sits there next to 213. That's where the farmhouse is situated. William and Barbara Morgan are in at parcel 44.1 across the road and just to the south. 44.3 is Mr. Warren. He signed the petition. 44 is a vacant lot. 45.1 is Brad Johnson. He had a letter to the Board of Adjustment, but he's fully aware of this, and sufficed for him. 41 is Doug Ingram. He also had a letter that's part of this package. So we have the neighbors who are most affected by this having no opposition to the application itself. And let me just briefly run through the photographs and explain what they show you. And I apologize, I should have numbered these, but they're 7 pages, so I'll just go through them quickly, referencing those 7 pages. The top photograph on the first page shows Old State Road looking north, just in Lincoln, toward Route 207, and you can see a car crossing the road. That's the intersection right there. The second picture on that page, again, looks north, and I took that picture. It shows an interstate battery truck going south on Old State Road, and I'll explain the importance of that in a minute. The second page is, again, in Lincoln, but this is looking south on Route 213. Obviously, a major road has the lines and so forth on it. The bottom picture is, as you're getting closer to the farm, the garage, what would be used as the garage is the shed to right center, and the farmhouse you can see in the center just to the right of the highway. And then Halflinger Road comes in just to where that first telephone pole is located. The next page, again, shows the site, shows the garage, which would be enclosed and extended, and the farmhouse, and then the bottom is just another shot of that particular garage. The line would be just about where the corner of the fence line is, and then head west. The next photograph, again, shows just the garage area, and then the bottom photograph on page 4 shows looking back north on 213, and that's the way the trucks would go as they head back out from the site. The next page shows 2 houses. The house on the left is Mr. Warren's house. The house on the right is Mr. William Morgan's house. Those are directly across from the farm, as was shown on the site plan, and the fence line goes down on the right side to the south. And then I took a picture of the Del Dot, don't put a bypass through here sign, that is in William Morgan's front yard. Because the way this bypass would go, it would take his house and cut straight then through the Morgan farm. The next page shows a trucking operation that is owned by William Morgan. And this is just to the south of Mr. Morgan's house, just to the south of this site. And in the middle of the top picture, you can see the interstate battery truck. This truck was backing out of the garage. There was activity there. So this is an active trucking terminal, which is within about a half a mile of this particular site. And then some of the trailers that are sitting around at that particular site. And then the last set of photographs, you can see behind William Morgan's facility in the back, just above the fence line, there are numerous trailers back in there. So very similar to what Mr. Ronald Morgan is proposing. And then a shot back the other direction from the existing truck terminal, and you can see the relationship to the site that we have here. The bottom line is that this is an appropriate conditional use in this AR district. Clearly benefits the community, the farming community, and actually is a vital part of the farm operation in this area, in that Mr. Morgan hauls grain, corn, soybeans, lumber, chickens, clams, and provides a niche that is vital to the economy, the agricultural economy. Obviously won't adversely impact the neighborhood. We already have a truck operation close by. Trucks have been operating in this area for years. We might have a bypass through there. It will not adversely impact the property values, and it's our position that it promotes the general welfare of Sussex County by providing jobs and providing vital services. As I went through this, I mentioned numerous limiting factors that Mr. Morgan was willing to have imposed. I have prepared a list of 17 such items. Do you have enough copies? I have some other copies.
I think we're
fine.
Good.
Okay.
We're good. Thank you.
Unless you have any questions of me or Mr. Morgan, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Rutt. We will we'll see if anyone has any questions. But first, I have a question for Mr. Lank. The trucking operation on the William Morgan property, is that a permitted use?
I believe Mr. Rutt stated it was non-conforming. I would say probably right. I don't know if it was ever closed for any time for a period of 2 years. If it was, then it would be in violation. I don't know if it was ever closed for 2 years or not.
These are two separate trucking closed operations, and the Board of Adjustment case didn't have anything to do with Mr. William Morgan's.
No, it didn't, but it's across the road. It's off the original same farm, probably. Okay. I don't know if it's ever closed for a period of 2 years or not.
Look at the
building, it's pre-existing. It's just in the building itself, you can see this. It appears to be vacant at times, but never lack of equipment being parked there.
My client just indicated that it has not been out of operation. It's been continual.
Thank you. I just wanted to know. All right, so Mr. Burton, you have any questions?
I do. The current operation that's being done now is being done down the road. And how many employees and trucks are currently in operation?
Come up here. There are six employees.
Now, wait a minute. I think he's talking about down the road.
Okay.
Not for my operation. But
okay, sir, excuse me, sir. I need you to give us your name and address for the record, please.
Ronald W. Morgan, 18126 Halflinger Road, Lincoln, Delaware.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Go ahead.
Are you asking in regards to how many employees of my operation? Six?
You said six.
Yes, at the present time.
How many trucks and trailers are?
At the present time, we're operating five trucks and 12 trailers.
And the what you would like to take it to is twice of two of everything. Like to double your trailers, double your trucks, and double.
Well,
your
I'm not in no hurry with fuel prices and insurance prices to expand, but I don't want to be caught with my hands in my pocket neither, per se.
Are you currently using the proposed 213 only? I'm going to exit the property one way. Are you currently using?
Yes.
So you are, when you enter or exit your current operation, you are adhering to this?
Yes.
This number 12?
Yes, sir.
There's no loading or unload. There wouldn't, you're not going to change.
No, we picked up from our customers.
You have to let him finish his question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The trailers would be empty. If there's trailers on the site, the trailers would be empty.
85% of the time, yes. Depending on whether we picked up a load as though to be delivered the next day, you know, as though loaded today, but the truck don't pull out to that evening. Like with the clams, of course, they come fresh off the dock, fresh to the plant, and are delivered at that particular time.
You're showing up with a loaded trailer and leaving with a loaded trailer.
Yes, at particular times, but like I say, 85% of the time, the trailers are probably still empty.
The work that you'd be doing in the garage, you would be pulling the tractors in and servicing them there, is that?
Yes, general maintenance as far as for, you know, keeping them DOT specs.
Changing any oil or?
Changing oil, you know, tar, whatever.
And that would all be housed, and all the parts et cetera would be housed in your proposed fenced area that you're building?
Yes, sir.
No further questions.
Could I clarify? There would be some parts inside, your oil filters, those types of things. The larger parts would be out in the fenced area.
In the fenced area.
But there's no other fence on the property. The property won't be enclosed in any way other than where that one part storage is.
Correct.
Thank you.
Unless somebody up here wants it to be.
I understand.
Mr. Gordy.
I was thinking the same thing. Would your client be willing to fence in the area? Not only for security reasons, but for aesthetic reasons also.
I wouldn't see no threat of security reasons at this location, but if that would please the board for acceptance, yes, I would be.
For the trucks are owned by you?
Yes, sir.
The trailers are?
Owned by myself also.
Oh, you own the trailers also?
Yes. Other than a few that we pull, like from Mount Air or whoever.
Right.
Where they actually preload their own trailers, that just works a lot simpler to utilize their equipment.
So like the clam trailers are yours?
Yes, sir.
What do you haul for J.B. Wells?
Lumber.
Lumber?
Yes.
You got your own trailer for that?
Yes, sir.
And only mechanical work you'll be doing is on your own vehicles?
Correct.
No other?
No, we're not into the outside mechanicing business. Bad enough getting our own stuff done.
Concerned with maybe the smell with your clams. How do you alleviate that?
The only smell from the clams would be from any kind of juice running off, which is very minimal. You figure that by the time we've picked the clams up, as though if we were to actually bring a loaded trailer load of clams to the yard, they've already been riding for a minimum of 4 hours, so there's very little discharge left from them as though to be an odor issue. They're inside of a reefer trailer.
Yeah, okay, it's not open trailer.
No, sir.
Okay, that's better. That's all the questions I have.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Smith?
I guess for Mr. Rutt, your client applicant at this time doesn't wish to make any petition to have a sign on the property?
No. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but represented to me that his business is word of mouth, and he really doesn't have any desire to have signs out there.
And I see we've got you got inserted in here about the hours of operation for the garage. I'm guessing from listening to what I've heard that the garage would be closed at after
8 p.m.
8, but the trucks on occasion would roll in.
Yes, sir.
Prior to. Okay. I have no other question.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Lang.
Mr. Rutt made a statement earlier that all repair work would be done in the garage.
Yes, sir.
The blue truck that was there today appeared to be being repaired, and it was outside. Is that
That truck was just freshly painted and was pulled outside for the paint to dry.
That's why I asked. If the commission felt it appropriate to approve this application, you made reference at all, basically small parts to be stored in the garage, and what could you describe what the large parts are that might be outside?
Rears, motor, transmission, things of that nature.
Okay, would you object if they were to be stored within a fenced-in area so they really weren't visible?
No, I have no objection to that.
That would be a solid type fence, vinyl clay or something.
Right, like the solid wood fence or something.
Yeah, whichever, yeah. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. Mr. Robertson?
No questions.
All right, sir.
Gentlemen, if you would take a seat nearby, we'll see if the public has any input.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1649 Ronald W. Morgan? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1649 Ronald W. Morgan? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday night with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Thank you. And our next public hearing is conditional use 1650 JV Industrial Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a small machine shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 5.05 acres, more or less, lying northwest of Route 257, also known as Round Pole Bridge Road, 1.2 miles